You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com. Hello and welcome to Absent Minded. My name is Jared Book as we continue our look at the Atlantic Division. And today we are talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. And very happy to have with us today Steve Dangle. Steve, how are you?
Excellent. How about you?
I'm good. Maybe, you know, in a few hours things will change, but no, it's an exciting time, I think, for everybody. Whether you're a team in Toronto's position or a team in Montreal's position, there's something about the first game of the season. That's always exciting. I wanted to touch on what I think is kind of the story of the offseason, is that the Maple Leafs kind of were forced into making a change at general manager that they didn't seem that they wanted to do at first, and then basically kept the core together for another season. I mean, what's the psyche like? What's the mindset of the market, the fans going in, or you even just going into the season?
Well, it's the mentality coming into the season is a lot different from the one coming out. I mean, there was a lot of turmoil. You know, Dubas gave his now infamous press conference, and anything could happen. From that press conference all the way from he could trade one of the core players to he himself could get fired. So a lot was unclear. People were ready to blow up the core, and then it became essentially impossible to do unless you're talking about getting rid of Nylander when Marner's no trade or no move kicked in on July 1st. But now fans, I think, are excited. Like, you know, Max Domi's a pretty cool nostalgia pop. You know, there's been toughness added to the roster, which a large portion of this fan base has wanted for a long time. Not everyone is excited about that. But there's definitely an attitude of, you know what, screw it. They're going to play games. We're going to see how this goes. And I think everyone's excited for a new set of eyes.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I'm sure if I would have asked you, and I mean I've seen you talk about it, where, you know, the thought of running it back with the core was unfathomable, you know, right after the exit of the playoffs, and now it's kind of like no, it does seem a little bit different this year, and I think the addition of, you know, benefiting from the 1 year contracts like Domi and Bertuzzi got, kind of helps that kind of, you know, it feels different this year. Did you agree that it kind of feels a little bit different than maybe, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years ago?
It's not going to kick in until we see it in action, right? You know, like this fan base is super focused on the playoffs, which means there's less emphasis on the regular season, which means there's way less on the preseason. This year, I think everyone wants to see what they're going to do when it starts. And, I think there's going to be a lot of the rough stuff, tonight, you know, the, Ryan Reeves, new sheriff in town, he might want to get someone to go. Max Domi, I can guarantee, is going to take at least one penalty tonight. You know, rightly or wrongly, you know, and I think there will be a big pop for the new guys. And then now there's this interesting side plot of Fraser Minton. And the Leafs haven't really had a rookie like him in a long time. I'm trying to think of the last time a second-round pick made the Leafs roster just a year after getting picked by them. Like, there's... like Nick Robertson is a special case because he never would have been on the team without the bubble.
Right.
So I think you have to go like all the way back to like Matt Stajan. I can't remember where Alex Steen was picked, but it's been a very long time. So a lot of interesting little subplots.
And how much does, Frazer Minton, Matthew Nyes have kind of been like the rejuvenation? And you mentioned not reading a lot in the preseason, but those are the two names that kept coming up. And the games against Montreal, they were very present. And it's kind of interesting where in a case like Toronto, like you alluded to, it's odd to see a player that's kind of pushed themselves into the conversation, right? Because there are a lot of players who are kind of forced into it. And Robertson was kind of like on the margins, I would say, but no one's really, pushed the door down and been like, I'm here now, make room for me, in the way that Minton did. And I guess, that kind of adds a little bit to it too, right? I mean, I understand that Leafs fans aren't going to be satisfied until, the playoffs and potentially even until round, two is done in the playoffs. Does that add to kind of the kind of excitement that wouldn't necessarily be there coming off of the season that they did?
I mean, nothing says new like rookies, right? So like, you could get a new GM, but like, who gives a crap who's sitting upstairs in some box? This is a decision that frankly wouldn't have been made under the previous regime, because you have another year of keeping him in junior, let him go, let him dominate. But if he pushes the door down, like you said, why not go for it? They've had a lot of guys who like can play, and I think that might be what defines the Dubas era is, guys who can do this, can do that, but it's lacked players stealing a position, and like, you saw with Nylander playing center and everything, like this wasn't in the cards at all. Like no one was really expecting this. And it's all due to Fraser Minton.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to a guy like Arvid Jack, and obviously Montreal's in a completely different position than Toronto is, where young players get every opportunity. But I don't think many people expected that young player to get the opportunity. It's kind of funny, that he's kind of become a cult hero, and Frazer Minton has become a fan favorite, it seems, in preseason as well. You mentioned Brad Treliving. What's kind of the, I mean, fans, like you mentioned, they don't care who's in the box, unless Sportsnet shows them multiple times during a game. But I mean, what's the mindset with him specifically as the GM? He signed Sheldon Keefe to an extension. So what's kind of the what do you expect out of that, I would say?
Well, like Dubas, for example, becomes GM in Toronto. He signs John Tavares. He becomes GM in Pittsburgh. He trades for Erik Karlsson. Treliving hasn't really put a huge stamp on this team. And maybe that's not really what the team is needed. Maybe it didn't need a total facelift. He was pretty willing to be patient with Calgary. You have to go back to 2014 to remember what that was like. But he was generally patient with that group. And who I think what we were asking him to do, or what we thought he might do in the springtime was kind of unreasonable. We're asking a guy to leave his job and take a new job in Toronto, like within a month of each other, and then trade Mitch Marner in over the course of like his first month. No, he's tinkering, right? You get Tyler Bertuzzi 1 year, you can extend him if you need. Max Domi, 1 year, you can extend him if you need. A lot of people are complaining about this John Klingberg contract. 1 year. You could extend them, you could trade them, you could do whatever. So patience has been the name of the game so far. Opportunity you could argue has been the name of the game so far, like I said, with Minton. I think we're all sort of waiting to see what his first defining thing is going to be.
Yeah, it's funny because it's still very much Kyle Dubas's team. There are the changes, but it just feels like it kind of takes the pressure off of him a little bit too, right? Because as you mentioned, you can't really expect him to shake everything up in the span of a month and do it well anyway. You can probably
exactly.
You can probably expect him to make a move, but I wouldn't trust it to be necessarily a positive one. I wanted to go to what would be a successful season, because I remember talking to you before the bubble playoffs or the bubble season, sorry, and you said make it to round two, make it to round three. And I'm sure if I would have asked you last year, it would have probably been, make it to round two and see what happens. But how do you define success this season? And obviously the target can change depending on how things go. But right now, like, if they make it to round two, is that successful? If they need to make it to the conference final, like what needs to be considered a success?
No, last year they made it to round two and fired their GM. So that's obviously not the expectation, right? Like, right. Cup contention. And if you do go down in round two, so be it. But it's got to look competitive. Like, there are two Canadian teams that lost in the second round, and they have a very different look at the world. And they lost in the second round, and both teams that beat them went on to the Stanley Cup final. Leafs lost to the Panthers in the second round. Oilers lost to the Vegas Golden Knights in the second round. Leafs were probably the Panthers' easiest challenge, even though they swept Carolina. Certainly, they didn't give them a run for their money, however you look at it. Whereas the Oilers, I mean, they were probably Vegas's biggest challenge on route to the Stanley Cup. So that's what expectations look like. In terms of the regular season, I don't think I'm being biased saying there's no reason they can't win the division. Tampa doesn't have arguably the best goalie in the world for 2 months. The Bruins lost their top two centers. The Sabres are much improved, but they're still on their way up. Florida, for all the playoff success they had last year, weren't a great regular season team. There's no reason to think they can't win this division, which would be the first time they won a non-made-up Canadian division in I don't even know how long.
Yeah, it's and I think that's probably if you look at the division, they should win. Even if Vasilevsky was healthy at the beginning of the season, like, they're probably still ahead of Tampa, but especially now, like, you get a month and a half, 2 month head start, you should be ahead by the end of it. It's a hard question for you to answer, I'm sure, but is this like, well, is the patience done with the core four if it doesn't end in at least a fighting loss? Like, is the patience pretty much at zero at this point for another early exit?
I mean, yes, but here we are again at this conversation that goes in circles. Like, right. they just signed Matthews to an extension, so that's not happening. Tavares has a full no move, that's not happening. Marner has a full no move. That's not happening. So you're looking at Nylander, who's arguably been the best one in the playoffs.
And unrestricted at the end of the season anyway.
And yeah, exactly. And he's unrestricted. So, like, does losing Nylander make a positive – does losing Nylander for nothing make a positive difference for this team? No. Does trading him – is trading him still a positive impact on this team? I mean, who out there is looking for a winger of Nylander's caliber and willing to give up a defenseman of similar quality? Like, I just don't know if it's out there. So I mean, they're really all eggs in one basket with this core, because I mean, you're basically committed to the next 2 years. Because if I'm not mistaken, Marner's deal is up in 2 years, and Tavares's contract is up in 2 years. So, I mean, if they, you know, whether they succeed or fail this year, they're pretty much committed to doing it again.
It's true. There's not really much, unless one of the players, you know, accepts to move. But I mean, all indications is that, you know, they wouldn't.
No shot.
And even then, you know, if it is, you know, you can't ask Tavares to do it. And even then, he doesn't really have the highest value to bring back anything anyway. So it's not a tough 11. Situation. Yeah, it's a tough situation for a new GM who's, you know, trying to make a mark on this team, but everything he tries to do is kind of one hand tied behind his back, because you can't really make any changes. But having said that, he did, you know, he made maybe the biggest move of, you know, random move, I would say. He was forced into it with Johnny Gaudreau and the whole Matthew Tkachuk thing. And that trade kind of came out of nowhere for the value he got out of it. So maybe, you know, if there's a GM that can make something out of nothing, it might be him. But yeah, like you say, it's kind of, you can't really expect any changes at this point. And at this point, I don't think Nylander has that much trade value anyway, just because of the contract situation. And, you know, the season started. it's very hard for teams to maneuver cap space and stuff like that at this point. So yeah, it's a good point. I didn't really think that they're kind of locked into it. They are. And, you know, any move they would have made would have to be before the clauses kicked in, right?
Yeah, or like you're looking at trading, like Riley is really the only one.
Yeah. But again, does that benefit the team? Like it's very hard to make a trade of, you know, their top defender, and kind of expect to be better.
And another guy coming off a good playoff, another right. leader. I mean, you look what's, you know, you certainly wouldn't put him in the same category as like Fox or Makar or McAvoy, but like he's not making what those guys are making, right? Like is 7.5 that unreasonable for your top defenseman? Like probably not. So like, again, I think they're basically committed with this group. Now I'm saying that like, it's a bad thing, you know, like there are worse positions to be in. Like they're going to, you know, this year and next, you would think they're going to compete for the division. It's just no one cares. You know, I don't even know what I did with my North Division champion shirt. I probably burned it. In the year Matthews won the Hart, like, I don't know, it's kind of cool. Probably have a poster of him scoring his 60th goal. I do. But like, I look at it and I'm happy for a sec, and then the second, I'm like, damn it, and they friggin' lost in the first round again.
Yeah, you know? It's very, very Atlanta Braves, right? Because they would win the division title. Like, I think they won 14 straight division titles and had like one or two World Series because of it. And
I would kill for that. Like, can I make that trade?
Absolutely.
Can I make the two championship trade? I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because Montreal is in a very different position, but they that playoff run is as far as it seems to be in retrospect, given everything that's happened since, it's very much still a rallying cry. Even though it's funny because we were looking it up before the game today. And Montreal and Toronto have the exact same number of players remaining from that run, that playoff series.
Hilarious.
Which is hilarious in all different kinds of ways. And it's just, you wouldn't think of it that way because the teams have been completely different. And you know what? My dad's a Leafs fan, so I have a soft spot for the Leafs. I'm not like a hater at all costs. If they're not playing Montreal, you know, I kind of want I'm not saying I want them to win the cup necessarily, but I don't
you want your
them
dad
to lose.
Be happy.
Yeah, you know,
there
he's
you
getting
go.
he's getting old. Like He just turned 60. Like he's in his mid-60s. He was around for 67. Like, kind of feel bad for him. Like it's not fun. Like, and I remember during the bubble playoffs, I was talking to him and I'm like, "You watching the series against Columbus?" And he's like, "No, I don't care about hockey in August." And I'm like, "Well, I mean, in the end, it turned out pretty good for him to not watch that." But it's just like, yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
Well,
I remember.
it's also gotten to a tough point.
Right.
Like when they blew it against Montreal, like obviously it's humiliating, but as a storyteller, I can appreciate what a crazy story it is, right? And then they lose to Tampa the next year, and I was just like, oh, they just kind of lost. You know what I mean? Like there was
Yeah.
nothing special about it or noteworthy, or you couldn't even go, oh well, gosh gee willikers, at least there was a comeback story. Unfortunately the Leafs are on the receiving end of it. No, it just sort of lost. Like it's getting old, man. I'm sure there's some people who are like, no, it's not. This is always awesome. The Leaf losses are always in season. But it's getting old.
Yeah, and even when you win a round last year, right? They win a round last year and then win one game in round two. Like it's not even like that's like what a week and a half, not even like five
It
games
was
would
like
be like,
7 days.
yeah,
The 7 days
exactly.
that changed the mood of the entire city.
Yeah, it's almost like you can't even enjoy the small wins. Like even if like series won seven, I think it's a completely different mindset, right? So it's just yeah, you kind of appreciate it's hard to tell the story. Like I remember, I think it was this is relevant now because you just you have Arpin and Marc-Antoine doing a podcast with SDPN, and Arpin said that the worst things is to cover a team that always wins or always loses because you have to tell the same story every time, and you have to find new ways to tell that story, and the Leafs in the playoffs has kind of gotten to that point where it's you can't really spin it any other way. Like it's just, oh well, like it's a shrug at this point, right? And it's not that it makes it any easier. It's just it is what it is. And yeah, I can definitely sympathize with that as well.
And you don't even have the payoff of, oh, well, they lost, so there's going to be a bunch of changes. I mean, they fired their GM. He hasn't made many changes. He can't make many changes. So, like, if they bow out again this year, nothing's going to happen.
They
Like,
can't even fire the coach because he just signed him to an extension too, right? So it's,
I mean,
well, I
you
mean,
can,
they
but
can,
it's not great. And like, I know some people right now are going to be like, well, Nylander. You're still gonna have the three double digit guys. You're gonna have a guy, and then Matthews' extension kicks
and you still have to
in.
pay somebody to replace Nylander, so you don't really get that cap space to do much with it.
Yeah, like who? What's the illusion here? Like, who are we replacing him with on the right side? I mean, you can go out and spend money in free agency. It's not the best way to build your team. You're starting to see what's riding on this season and next. Like if they don't do it, I mean, that's when you have to completely look at, you know what? Let's get rid of everything that's not tied down, which is basically, I believe, Riley and Matthews.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Like I've been talking to teams in the division. It just kind of seems like from a high level perspective that not all of these teams are going to be able to be perennial playoff teams. Like there's just too many good teams. And it's getting to a point that one of the Ottawa, Buffalo, Detroit, Montreal is going to have to do a whole nother cycle of rebuild before they even make the playoffs.
It's crazy,
Because there's not
yeah.
enough room for all of them when you factor in the other teams. So it's going to be interesting. Listen, enjoy this new year and kind of new transition for you. Best of luck with SDPN. Please, I think you have three former EOTP people working at SDPN right now. I might even be missing some, but Julian, Mark, and Andrew. So, yeah, there's a always been a kind of symbiotic connection between the two. So best of luck with that and good luck this season as well.
Thank you very much. Yeah, just trying to stay afloat in this business and hire some folks deserving of it. So, yeah, have fun with this season.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot.